Growing up with parents who survived the Holocaust, I witnessed something puzzling. My mother would scream, "Why didn't Hitler kill me?" during difficult moments, while my father remained remarkably optimistic despite enduring identical trauma. This stark contrast launched a lifelong quest to understand emotions, what they are, why they differ so dramatically between people, and how they secretly orchestrate our lives. For centuries, we've been taught a comforting lie that rational thought should reign supreme while emotions merely interfere with good judgment. But revolutionary neuroscience has shattered this myth entirely. Your emotions aren't sabotaging your decisions, they're making them possible. Without feelings, you wouldn't be indecisive. You'd be completely incapable of deciding anything at all. The traditional view of emotions seemed elegantly simple. Humans possessed six basic universal emotions: fear, anger, sadness, disgust, happiness, surprise, each triggered by specific stimuli, producing fixed behaviors and residing in dedicated brain regions. This framework suggested our skulls housed three evolutionary layers: a reptilian brain managing survival instincts, a mammalian emotional brain generating feelings, and a rational neocortex keeping those primitive impulses in check. Think of Plato's chariot metaphor: reason as the driver, struggling to control two unruly horses of passion. This neat package informed everything from Freud's theories to modern emotional intelligence frameworks. But technological breakthroughs in brain imaging have revealed something startling. This entire model is fundamentally wrong. The new field of affective neuroscience shows that basic emotions are actually fuzzy categories, not distinct entities. Scientists now study dozens of emotions beyond the basic six, discovering that depression alone comprises four different subtypes with unique neural signatures. Brain scans can sometimes predict whether someone will benefit more from therapy or medication. Most revolutionary of all, those supposed evolutionary layers communicate extensively, with emotions generated across distributed networks rather than isolated regions. The chariot driver and horses aren't separate entities. They're intrinsically woven together. On August 30, 1983, a Soviet fighter pilot tracked Korean Airlines Flight 007 after it strayed into restricted airspace. When the Boeing slowed to save fuel, the pilot interpreted this as evasion and fired missiles, killing all 269 people aboard. He followed protocol perfectly, yet made a catastrophic error. Weeks later, Lieutenant Colonel Stanislav Petrov faced worse. Soviet systems indicated five American nuclear missiles had launched, verified through 30 layers of checks. Protocol demanded immediate reporting, virtually guaranteeing nuclear retaliation, yet Petrov hesitated. Despite unequivocal data and clear orders, he reported a system malfunction instead. 20 agonizing minutes passed before investigation revealed sunlight reflecting off clouds had caused the false alarm. Petrov's emotional intuition, his visceral aversion to starting World War III, saved humanity. Why do emotions exist? Consider the alternative: reflexive responses where specific triggers produce automatic actions. This rigid system requires an enormous catalog of trigger response rules with zero flexibility. Emotions solve this elegantly. Rather than hardwired reflexes, emotions generate general states that your brain weighs alongside other factors before calculating responses. When encountering potentially spoiled food, emotion allows you to consider hunger intensity, alternative food availability, and context. Even fruit flies demonstrate this sophistication. When researchers presented shadows, potential predator signals, to feeding flies, the insects initially jumped away and quickly returned. But when shown a second shadow, they stayed away longer. The identical trigger produced different responses, proof of non-reflexive emotional processing. Despite having 1 millionth hour neurons, fruit flies display fear and aggression, demonstrating emotions' fundamental role across the animal kingdom. My father, Simon, once faced death during a nighttime anti-Nazi underground mission. After crawling under a fence, he found himself separated as his comrade's truck pulled away. Logic screamed to run after it, but something made him hesitate. Moments later, SS officers intercepted the truck and killed everyone aboard. What saved him wasn't conscious fear. His body somehow knew danger lurked before his mind could articulate why. Core affect functions as a primitive bodily thermometer reflecting general well-being, operating on two dimensions, valence, positive or negative, and arousal, intensity. When researchers offered dark-eyed juncos choices between fixed seed quantities and variable amounts, warm birds chose safety, while cold birds gambled for extra calories. Though lacking conscious reasoning, their core affect monitoring led them to conclusions matching professional risk analysis. This mind-body connection traces back to life's beginnings. Our gut's enteric nervous system functions as our second brain, capable of independent operation while intimately connected to our central nervous system. Research reveals bidirectional causality between bowel disorders and psychological conditions like anxiety and depression. Transplanting gut microbes between timid and adventurous mice even transfers personality traits. Yet this ancient system sometimes influences modern decisions detrimentally. Parole officers make fewer favorable decisions before lunch, and financial analysts grow increasingly negative during late-day earnings calls. Paul Dirac, one of the 20th century's greatest physicists, lived emotionally disconnected early in life. His harsh father forced him to speak only French at isolated dinners, developing extreme reticence. Dirac proclaimed his life mainly concerned with facts, not feelings. Everything changed when he met Margit Mansi Wigner. After marrying in 1937, he discovered unexpected happiness and recognized emotion's crucial role even in theoretical physics. When young physicists sought his secret, he advised being guided, above all, by your emotions. Though physics requires logic, emotion provides the intuition necessary for navigating complex mathematical paths. As neuroscientist Ralph Adolphus explains, an emotion is a functional state of the mind that puts your brain in a particular mode of operation that adjusts your goals, directs your attention, and modifies the weights you assign to various factors. Walking down a dark street, merely perceiving movement shifts your mind into fear mode. Hearing sharpens, hunger fades, priorities recalibrate toward survival. Studies confirm subjects exposed to violent crime accounts subsequently overestimate probabilities of various calamities, including unrelated disasters like tornadoes. As humans evolved socially, our emotional repertoire expanded to include guilt, shame, jealousy, gratitude, empathy, and pride, helping navigate social norms. Neural apparatus governing physical disgust adapted to the social realm. We become disgusted by rotten people using identical words we use for rotten food. Modern science recognizes drives like hunger don't just motivate food seeking, but amplify value we assign to all acquisitions, explaining why shopping while hungry leads to overbuying everywhere. Mike Tyson's 1990 heavyweight championship fight against James Buster Douglas seemed certain, with 42-1 odds against Douglas. When Douglas's mother, who'd predicted he would kick his ass, died 3 weeks before the fight, he continued in her memory. After Tyson's eighth-round knockdown, Douglas rose and knocked Tyson out in the 10th, creating boxing's greatest upset. Psychologist Kent Berridge discovered humans have separate neural systems for liking and wanting. By blocking dopamine in rats, he eliminated their wanting but not their liking. They enjoyed sugar water but lacked motivation to consume it. This proved dopamine isn't the pleasure molecule but the desire molecule. Stimulating rats' wanting circuits made them consume bitter quinine they clearly disliked. Human examples abound. Addicts desperately want drugs providing little pleasure. Attractive displays boost desire without increasing enjoyment. Men may want hard-to-get partners more while liking responsive ones better. Our wanting system centralizes in the nucleus accumbens, a marble-sized structure generating desires before passing signals to consciousness. The processed food industry exploits the gap between wanting and liking. Rats offered processed foods alongside regular chow quickly become obese, showing addiction-like brain changes. These engineered combinations stimulate wanting circuits without providing satiation. Addictive substances dramatically increase dopamine release, overstimulating wanting while decreasing actual pleasure through tolerance. This explains why we crave foods that don't satisfy us, reaching for another handful of chips despite feeling no enjoyment. Food scientists craft products that hijack our wanting systems while delivering diminishing returns on pleasure. This mechanism operates across modern addictions, from social media notifications to gambling's intermittent rewards. Our wanting circuits fire automatically before conscious awareness registers the craving, making resistance feel like fighting our own biology. Understanding this split reveals why willpower alone fails against engineered temptation. Emotions aren't primitive impulses to suppress. They're sophisticated guidance systems honed across millions of years of evolution. Your anxiety is your brain's threat detection system. Your gut feelings are rapid-fire calculations drawing on vast experience. Your determination is a measurable neural network that can be strengthened. Understanding your emotional profile, what triggers your emotions, how quickly they build, their intensity, and recovery time, isn't self-indulgent. It's recognizing your unique operating system. While emotional profiles stabilize in adulthood, behavioral epigenetics proves they remain transformable with deliberate effort. Techniques like reappraisal, recognizing negative thought patterns and changing them to more desirable interpretations, significantly reduce negative feelings. Contrary to popular belief, expressing unwanted negative emotions helps diffuse them. The invitation isn't to become more rational by suppressing emotions. That's neurologically impossible and would leave you paralyzed. Instead, recognize emotions as essential partners in navigating life's complexity. Listen to your body's ancient wisdom. Honor your feelings while understanding their mechanics. In a culture that sells productivity in pills and mindfulness in apps, perhaps the most radical act is accepting your complete humanity. Thinking and feeling, reasoning and intuiting, analyzing and sensing, as the integrated whole it was always meant to be.